Johnson had an old gray mule, his name was Simon Slick. He'd switch his tail and wall his eyes, but how that mule could kick. Oh, he'd switch his tail and wall his eyes, but how that mule could kick.
It's getting on toward sundown of a Tuesday evening. Time to spin you another tall tale. Tonight I figured to relate how a mule, a blizzard, and a telephone all got tangled up in one of the oddest courtroom trials ever heard about.
The mule would bray, yaw, yaw, and it carried him down with a rake. Oh, the mule would bray, yaw, yaw, and it carried him down with a rake.
Now, maybe I don't have every name in the story just right. After all, it happened better than 50 years ago, and I heard it, oh, a long time ago myself. But I'll tell you the yarn as I remember it. They'd just strung the first telephone line from way off over yonder in the hill country to the county seat town of one of our Middle Tennessee counties.
Hello? Hello? Anybody there? I can't hear anybody on this darn thing. Dad rat, this contraption don't work at all. Hello? Hello? Oh, there you be. Well, this is George Washington Carmody, the magistrate over to Big Castle Springs talking. We got us a telephone over here, and that's what I'm talking over right now. They give us the honor of being the first to talk on the thing. It's in Newt Flippin's store.
Well, that's the telephone that figures in my story. Now, about the mule. Suppose we hear Squire Carmody tell what brought the mule into it. After all, he heard the case when it came to court. Ought to know all about it.
Now, as I understand this case, and correct me if I'm wrong, this mule developed a stiff leg after Mr. Parsley bought him from Mr. Adams. Now, Mr. Parsley contends that Mr. Adams knew the mule had a stiff leg when he sold him. That right? Yeah. Well, Adams have anything to say? Don't agree with Mr. Parsley, I... Well, I sort of expected something like that. Of course, it ain't for me to say, but it appears to me like a man could have spotted a stiff-legged mule before he paid money for the animal. Unless, of course, somebody had doctored the mule. Or the mule is smart enough to have put on about having a stiff leg. You know, mule's a pretty smart animal. On the other hand, this cold weather could have just plumb froze up that mule's leg. All parties agreeable to a hearing? A legal hearing? Very well, advise them to get their lawyers, and I'll set a date that suits everybody, and we'll hear both sides.
When the farmer comes to town with his wagon broken down, oh, the farmer is the man who feeds them all. If you'll only look and see, I think you will agree that the farmer is the man who feeds them all. The farmer is the man, the farmer is the man, buys on credit till the fall. Then they take him by the hand, and they lead him from the land, and the merchant is the man who gets it all. And the merchant...
Now you know what started the lawsuit. Before we get on with the story, maybe you'd better meet the most important character in this yarn I'm spilling. No, not the mule. I mean the attorney for the defendant. He's a young fella just out of law school, and the shingle hung outside his office is so new the paint isn't dry on the name. J. Thomas Donahue, attorney at law. Tom Donahue has a lady in his office, Mrs. Donahue. They're right now in the middle of a very important conference. The lady, strange to say, is talking.
And another 25 cents. That's for the steak we had last night. Now add up the whole list. 5 plus the 9 and carry the 1. And you owe me $6.04, Tom Donahue. Household expenses and incidentals for the week ending January 7th.
Mary Jane, there's something I ought to say.
Now, Tom, don't try to tell me about cutting down expenses. Not again. It's all because of Christmas and New Year's that I'm $1.04 over my budget.
I'm not complaining, Mary Jane. I think you manage real well. But the truth is, I don't have $6.04 in my pocket right now. I just paid the man for the new telephone.
Oh, Tom! A telephone? Every mechanical toy that comes along catches your eye. If there were any way for a man to fly...
Well, I think you'd spend your money on a machine that would take you up in the sky with the pigeons and the redbirds.
It's a matter of business, sweetheart. Think of how many people a successful lawyer must talk with in a day's time.
How many?
Well, maybe 15 or 20. Maybe even more.
Do you talk with that many people every day?
No. That is, not right now. Not until I am better established as an attorney.
Then I don't see why you need a telephone.
Come in. Come right in, sir. What can I do for you?
A man bundled up to his ears against the winter cold outside peers through the half-open door and looks around at Tom Donahue's sparsely furnished office. He moves forward and closes the door behind him. Then he eyes the young attorney and asks, "You Tom Donahue?"
"Yes, I am. And this is my wife."
"How do you do?"
The stranger removes his hat and unwinds his muffler. He looks over at Mrs. Donahue. He tells her, "I'm doing just average, ma'am. I don't like cold weather and I don't like lawsuits, and I'm up to my ears in both." He turns to Donahue and says, "You're a lawyer, I hear. That's why I come to see you. I need a lawyer."
"A customer! Oh, excuse me. I was just going, Tom. But I still don't see why you need a telephone."
"I'll be home at the usual time, Mary Jane. We can continue our conversation then, if you feel it is necessary."
"Yes, Tom. Good afternoon, sir."
"And now, sir, what can I do for you? You say you need a lawyer?"
Ben Adams sits down, clears his throat, and tells his story to young Tom Donahue. We already know from Squire Carmody that it's a disagreement of two men over a mule. Now, Ben Adams, who sold the animal, tells Donahue his version of what happened. "Far as I know, young man, that mule was sound as a McKinley dollar when I sold him to William Parsley. Sound in wind and limb. I don't feel it's none of my concern if Bill Parsley can't take care of a mule, but I got my good name as a stock trader to think of, so I don't like for Parsley to go around saying I sold him a stiff-legged mule."
"Oh, the doctor hangs around while the blacksmith eats his iron. Oh, the farmer is the man who feeds them all. The preacher and the cook go strolling by the brook, and the farmer is the man who feeds them all. The farmer is the man, the farmer is the man, buys on credit till the fall. Though his family comes to town with a wagon broken down, oh, the farmer is the man who feeds them all. Oh, the farmer is the man who feeds them all."
Ben Adams settles back in his chair and looks right at Tom Donahue. "What's your opinion?" he says.
"Mr. Adams, I'll take your case."
The two shake hands on the bargain.
"Now, sir, let me explain how I propose to put your story before the squire. In the first place, you've been a stock trader these many years with no previous complaints."
The morning of the day set for the hearing, Tom Donahue jumped out of bed, dashed across the room to the window, and threw it open.
"Tom, shut the window. It's freezing cold out there."
And so it was. A blizzard during the night had covered the landscape with a thick white shroud. The thermometer plunged to zero. The morning sun set shining daggers of blue-white light dancing across the crusty snow.
"But the hearing, my lawsuit, how will I get over there in weather like this?"
"What's happened, Tom?"
"A blizzard, that's what's happened. I've been snowed out of my lawsuit. I can't possibly take the horse and buggy through that snow. I don't know the road that well. Golly, what will I do? How will I get word to the squire?"
"The telephone."
"That's right. The telephone.
Ring up the store over there where the new line ends and ask for a postponement."
"I'll go down to the office right now." "Hello? Hello? Is the exchange open yet so I can call over to Newt Flippin's store? Sure, he has a telephone. The only one over there. The new line was strung just a few days ago. Well, hurry up, would you?" Funny how she thought of telephoning right away and I didn't. "Oh, hello? Hello, Mr. Flippin? I have to talk with Squire Carmody, Mr. Flippin. I know it's early. I just got up myself. Don't expect you to. Just get a message to him. I can't get over there for court this morning. Snow's a foot deep and icing over.
Tom Donahue sat down in his chilly office and waited for the heat to come on in the radiators and for the telephone to ring. He couldn't go back home. He might miss the squire's call.
I brought you coffee, Tom. Open the door for me. Both my hands are full.
She'd put hot coffee and rolls and butter and country ham in a basket, and the pair of them had breakfast in the chilly room. The minutes piled up into an hour, and another, and then...
That's my ring.
Explain to them how the snow is freezing and how dangerous it would be to travel.
Hello? Squire?
It was Squire Carmody, all right, and he was ready to conduct the hearing.
Postponing's out of the question, young man. Just can't do it. All the other parties to the suit are right here in Newt Flippin's store where I always hold court.
Ask them, do they mind?
Young man, even your own client wants to hold off the hearing. You better let him name another attorney, son.
Squire Carmody, I just had an idea. It's a little unusual, but would you let me argue my client's case by telephone? I know it's unusual, Squire. All right, I admit it's unique. Never been done before. That don't make it wrong.
The squire finally agreed, and this is the arrangement they worked out.
Now let me see if you and I understand each other, squire. You'll keep me posted on what points of law come up, right? All right. And you'll let me coach Ben Adams on what to ask the witness, right?
That's how it happened. A mule and a blizzard and a telephone all scrambled into one of the strangest yarns I ever heard tell. A real tall tale, but I swear to you it happened pretty much like I've spun it for you tonight. The questioning went on for around 2 hours, as best I recall, and at the end, Squire Carmody let young Tom Donahue top off the trial by long distance with a real rip-snorting plea in behalf of his client, Ben Adams.
And in conclusion, Your Honor, let me remind the court that even the Romans of old had an answer to the circumstances of today. Caveat emptor, let the buyer beware. Your Honor, I rest my case.
Well, that's the story, except, of course, for one thing. Who won? Mr. and Mrs. Donahue had to wait a long time while the squire, way over yonder, miles distance, across the icy, snow-covered countryside, debated and pondered on the evidence and the pleas. Tom Donahue paced the office, then, tired out, sat down.
Tom?
Yes, dear?
Don't take it too hard if you lose. Don't take it hard at all. 'Cause I found out something today that makes me sure someday you're going to be a real successful lawyer.
You did?
Yes, Tom. I found out you're a fighter. You won't be licked, not ever. And another thing, Tom, when you've become rich and famous, would you do one thing for me?
Anything, Mary Jane. Anything.
Let me have a telephone. I think they're fun.
Do you want to answer it?
May I? Oh, thank you, Tom. Hello? This is Mrs. Tom Donahue. Yes, Squire. Yes, oh, yes, I will. Tom, you won. You won. The Squire says he thinks the mule simply outsmarted Mr. Parsley. He doesn't believe he's lame at all.
Johnson had an old gray mule. His name was Simon Slick.
You've been listening to Tall Tales, a retelling of famous Southern legends. Tall Tales is heard every Tuesday evening at this same time. Tall Tales is written by Bill Woolsey. The ballad singer was George Grice, the storyteller, Bobby Wiener. Tall Tales is produced by Marjorie Cooney and comes to you as a presentation of the Department of Special Program Services from WSM, the National Life and Accident Insurance Company, Nashville, Tennessee.